This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is hour 3 of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. It is time now for a special guest to join us from Mavs.com, Bobby Corella. And a good afternoon to you, sir. How you doing?
I'm fantastic, gentlemen. How are you?
About the same. You know, wishing the basketball team would play better, but we're coping with it well. What do you think is the best we can hope for here with what's left of this Mavs season? Are you willing to say at this point it just wasn't meant to be and we're playing out the string? What do you say, Bobby?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, every single game kind of changed the mood so much. You know, Maxi Kleber hits that buzzer beater the other night against LA, and you're like, okay, Luke is going to be back soon. They're going to string together a couple wins against the West. They got an easy schedule for a week after that. Boom, Mavs could climb to as high as fifth by like the weekend. And then the game in Memphis happens last night, and it's like, are they even going to make the play-in? You know, it is such a dramatic swing. You know, the momentum swings from among the fan base. I'm sure the players are feeling it too. You know, the coaching staff, Jason Kidd, is clearly trying to insulate them from all that pressure. But, I mean, I don't know if it's working. It just really is a matter of when they win, it feels like they're never going to lose again. And when they lose, it feels like they're never going to win again. And so, you know, realistically, at this point, the best they could do, unless they, you know, finish the season undefeated or something, is probably sixth place in the West. And realistically, the worst that they could do is like 11th or 12th, and they miss the play-in altogether. It's really going to come down to, you know, the old sports truism of like they've literally just got to go one game at a time, because everything is changing constantly right now, and it is just it's a whole lot to keep up with.
Do you think there's a place that could slip to that it would bring like blowing up everything into the picture, or do you think the organization would just be patient no matter how this goes?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm sure there's a sense of urgency, obviously, to make the playoffs for sure. Ideally, you would avoid the play-in and try and make a push, you know, win a series or two. But at this point, I feel like you got to shift your goal to just get in by any means necessary, even if that means you're 10th place, but you win your first play-in game and you win the second one and you're the 8th seed. You know, from then, you know, if they're able to get into the top 8, right, like if they're able to play a series, I don't think that's going to be good enough, right? Like just getting swept is not going to be good enough. You're going to have to put up a fight. But if they miss it altogether, I don't know. I mean, I think blow it up is probably a little bit of an exaggeration, but I think it's pretty clear, you know, that this is a deeply flawed team, you know, especially on the defensive end, especially on the glass, particularly the defensive glass. And so, you know, if anything, you know, this season ending with a whimper instead of like a bang like it did last year is just going to really reinforce like this is not a complete project yet. You know, there's still a very, very, very long way to go. And the time is now to act. You know, moving into the offseason, everybody knows Kyrie can be a free agent if he wants to. And so that is going to be a storyline looming over everybody's heads, I'm sure. But, you know, it's not just about Kyrie. You know, they need to upgrade everywhere, especially on the defensive end, and, you know, we'll see. But as far as blowing it up, I feel like that's probably a bit too far. But then again, I didn't see what happened a couple summers ago coming. So, you know, we'll see.
Hey, Bobby, we've seen a lot of Memphis here the last 3 weeks, right? I mean, it seems like, you know, we've kind of played them quite a bit, almost like it's been a playoff atmosphere with them. Does it give you any hope, the fact that the Mavs have been shorthanded and have kind of, it's been down to the wire with a team that's kind of a battle-tested, tough, physical team? I'm kind of looking at half glass full on this when I'm talking about the Mavs and what they've been able to do against a team like Memphis shorthanded.
To a degree, yes. You know, Memphis obviously was missing John Morant, but they've been so good without him both this season and last season that it's almost just like, okay, well, Ja didn't play. But they were also missing Steven Adams and Brandon Clark. And yet, you know, those are their two best rebounders, especially on the offensive end. And yet Dallas was still unable to keep the Grizzlies off the offensive glass, especially last night. They had 17 offensive rebounds, 22 second chance points. And, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr., Xavier Tillman, they were getting boards, but it was like Santi Aldama and John Conchar and David Roddy that was really punishing Dallas. And those guys aren't even like the Grizzlies' big guys. They're just their wings. John Conchar is like 6'5", you know, and he's going up getting, I think he had three or four offensive rebounds last night. And so, you know, I think Dallas has played Memphis very well for the most part. These last three games they played, like in the last week and a half, they had a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter in Memphis two separate times. Unfortunately, they weren't able to get it done in either of those situations. But, I mean, last night, pretty big asterisk. It looked like Kyrie could barely get up and down the floor. And the first game they played, neither Luka nor Kyrie played. So in a playoff series with everyone being healthy, I would like the Mavs' chances. But, you know, it doesn't matter who's healthy or who's not for the Grizzlies. Those guys are going to play hard, and you have got to work. All five guys have got to work together to keep everybody off the offensive glass. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you have more talent or more shooting or more offense or whatever. If you can't get a rebound, it's going to be really tough to win a series, let alone a game. So, you know, I think that there's plenty of positives to take out of it, but the overall negative is just, man, what have we got to do to beat those guys? Well, you've got to work harder than them. But the Grizzlies' signature is that they typically work harder than everybody else.
Talking all things Mavs with our guy Bobby Corella, Mavs.com here in the G-Bag Nation. You know, another positive, as certainly this has been a bummer to be a Mavs fan right now, but Jaden Hardy, another 20 points last night. Bobby, I wonder what you think when you watch this kid, and does he need to get more minutes? Because it seems like any time he's inserted into the game, he provides a spark. The moments never seem too big for him. If another team's making a run, he's there to knock down a big three when the Mavericks badly need it. I just wonder where you're at right now with Jaden Hardy.
Yeah, I thought, you know, his performance in that Utah game, this is like a month and a half ago, he had 29 points, no Luka, no Kyrie, and the Mavs won that game in Utah. I thought that alone was going to be enough to get him a ticket in the rotation for the rest of the season. And then he played like four or five more games after that, was pretty good, you know, had some mistakes, but played pretty well, and then just disappeared completely. I think he got DNPCD'd like five games in a row, just did not play at all. And then due to injuries and some other stuff, Luka goes down, Kyrie goes down, he plays again. Now all of a sudden he scored 20 plus points in four of his last five games. And if that is not going to get him in the rotation permanently, especially considering the stakes of these games, and you look at last night, he was the only player on the team to make a shot in the fourth quarter. Unfortunately, he like turned his ankle getting back on defense midway through the fourth quarter, so he had to leave the game. But as far as I know, he's okay for tomorrow. But, you know, in those moments in the fourth quarter on the road, he's been really, really good for the most part this season, and he's playing great right now. And so I feel like, you know, certainly for the rest of the year, he should be in the rotation. And then beyond that, you know, I don't want to get carried away, but he looks ready to be like a very, very regular, important, prominent member of the rotation, whether that's like spot starter guy that's going to give you 20 minutes or sixth man off the bench. You know, this team needs playmaking, needs offensive pop, needs shot creation. He can do all of those things and then some. He's super athletic, super fast, super quick, can break down the defense from a standstill. I mean, he's got oodles of talent, and even at this stage of his career, whenever he's still kind of raw, like he's still contributing on a regular basis and shooting it great too. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really, really impressed with what I've seen from him and Josh Green down the stretch, and that alone, you know, regardless of what else happens this season, that alone should at least make you feel kind of good about the future, just because those two and Luka are still so young, and still all three of them have room to grow.
Bobby, do you think they worry about the chaos that happens, it seems like, at the end of the games when he's handling the ball? The turnovers and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, especially in the, not last night's game against Memphis, but the game before
exactly.
in Memphis.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, he drove the lane, and, you know, sometimes
three
the handle's
of them, right?
kind of loose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think either two and a block or maybe three turnovers in the fourth or something. Yeah, he drove the lane and got swiped, and then another time it looked like he was trying to kick out a pass, and he just, like, he found the spot right between his two teammates
right.
instead of hitting them on the money. That stuff you can be, you know, really drilled on and work on in the summer. But yeah, I mean, I think his biggest, I guess his biggest area of improvement on offense right now would be just tightening up the handle a little bit. You know, his shot selection is iffy at times, but hey, who score, you know, which name me a scorer in the NBA that doesn't take some weird shots at time. And, you know, you'll be thinking for a really long time. So I like what he does on offense, but yeah, I think he's got to tighten up the handle a little bit, you know, clean up some of the turnovers. It looks like in transition, sometimes he's just thinking like, get to the basket, get to the basket, get to the basket. And sometimes he'll get blocked or just be a little too out of control. So maybe slow down the game a little bit, but he's only 20 years old. You know, some of that stuff is going to happen naturally. But just the raw intangible stuff. I mean, the guts that he has, the confidence in his shot, ability to get it off from anywhere, that alone should, you know, give you plenty of confidence to believe that he'll be able to, you know, figure out the easier stuff.
Is JaVale McGee, a.k.a. Magoo, which Mike Baskey calls him on the KMC Masterpiece, is this just a guy that at no point's going to give the Mavericks anything? I mean, it's like they're paying him. You need rebounding. Can this guy not help you at all? Like when you're looking at a postseason team, he stepped up. He gave Phoenix great postseason minutes. I get it. In the regular season, he's not giving you much. But should we just as Mavs fans think JaVale McGee is at no point ever going to step up this year and that was a bad signing?
Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, especially these last few games whenever Kleba was still out and Christian Wood missed a couple games and JaVale still barely got in the rotation at all. I mean, it seems like Jay Kidd is, you know, pretty set on not playing him at this point. You know, I don't know if, you know, even though the Mavs are playing two bigs now, he's still not getting in. So I don't know if Kidd is wanting to go more with like Kleba or Bertans or Wood at the four, with Dwight at the five, but sometimes Maxey's playing the five, sometimes Wood is the five and the only big man. So, you know, it feels like there have been opportunities for him to get in the game, especially in a game like last night where you're just not able to get any defensive rebounds, especially in that fourth quarter. But, yeah, I mean, it seems like that's not going to happen, at least this year. Maybe next year, who knows? But, I mean, you're right about he played for Phoenix in the playoffs last year, including against the Mavs, and he had some really good moments against the Mavs in the playoffs last year. So, you know, it's been really unfortunate that it just has not worked out. You know, hopefully it's not the case next year, but, you know, we're running out of time for it to be a thing this year.
It's Bobby Corella, Mavs.com. And personally, I want to give Kidd at least another year. What he did last year was awesome. With Nico, I think it's a big summer for him. Do they just need to get better defensive players in here and everything will be good again? Or were their roles in putting this team together and the way they coached it an issue as we look to the offseason and big picture decisions like that?
I mean, it's like one of those chicken or the egg argument things, right? Because on the one hand, I'm not really sure that they have the personnel right now to play defense the way that Jay Kidd wants to. But on the other hand, well, whose fault is it that they don't have the personnel? So it's kind of one of those like self, like the head of the snake is eating its own tail or whatever. I don't know what the metaphor is, but
I feel you though. I got you. I'm tracking.
Yeah. One begets the other. And so I think like, you know, I guess the important development that we've seen over the last couple weeks is that Jay Kidd has reverted to, instead of playing one big and a bunch of wings, he's playing two bigs more. And so maybe that's an inclination that like this summer, they're going to look for more size. I really think that's been a huge issue is, you know, oftentimes Luka, despite being a pretty big body guy, if he's your second biggest guy on the floor, you're going to have a really hard time matching up with big teams. You're going to have a really hard time getting rebounds. And, you know, generally guys like Reggie Bullock, Tim Hardaway Jr., Kyrie, you know, even whenever they had Dorian, you know, these guys are all slender, right? And there's teams like the Clippers that have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and Norman Powell and Nick Batum and Marcus Morris. And it's just a bunch of bigger wings with more size and more strength than you do. And, you know, not every team is built like the Clippers or the Nets that are just loaded with wings, but a lot of them are. And Dallas has really struggled when going up against some of those bigger teams. And so I think just size in general is a huge need. And I think if you do have a little more size, especially around the rim, then you're going to fix a lot of your flaws just naturally. You're going to have more guys that are able to get rebounds. You're going to have more guys that are able to contest shots. You're going to have more guys that aren't going to be just bullied in the post or, you know, kind of backed down easily by bigger players on the perimeter. And that should help you keep guys out of the paint a little more. But a lot of it, too, is just straight up effort. I mean, I don't know, you know, where that falls. You know, is that a coaching thing? Is that a management thing? Is that a player thing? But a lot of it is just straight up like, hey, the ball is in the air. find your guy, box him out. See who wants it more. Do you want it more, or are you going to let him get it? And too often this year, they just lost those 50-50 battles. And so, you know, I don't know who to blame for that. But the way I see it is, you know, if it ever comes down to, like, effort or attitude, then that's a player thing. I mean, players play the game, right? So, you know, I don't know, again, if that's a personnel thing or a player attitude thing or a leadership thing or whatever. But that is the most important thing to try and resolve this season and moving forward, is just the collective attitude of, we are not going to get pushed around. And it's easy to not get pushed around whenever you're bigger than the other guys, but you're not going to be the biggest team in the league. So whenever you're at a size mismatch, an athleticism mismatch, whatever, you've still got to pull your own weight and try and find a way to make it work and not get bullied. And so that, I think, from the top down, has got to be the main focus moving forward.
Bobby, I watch them play, and it seems like the effort is okay. I don't think they're very good. I just don't think they're very good at, you know, the positioning. And you talked about getting bullied and things like that. And I know maybe it's coaching, but I see them scrambling to try and close out and, you know, get balls and stuff like that. And, you know, especially the last four, it seems like every game they play comes down to the final minute, you know. And I just don't think they're very good at playing defense. I think the effort and the desire is there. I just don't think they're good at it.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to the personnel issue, right? I mean, guys like Luka, Tim, you know, Kyrie really, he tries to make some plays and, you know, swipes the balls and things like that. But if you have all three of those guys on the floor, or Christian Wood, you can kind of put in with those guys too. You know, those are pretty extraordinarily talented offensive players. But on their best day, they're like, you know, no offense or whatever, but they're like a league average defender, right?
Okay.
And if you have two or three or all four of them on the floor, same with Jaden Hardy, you know, rookie guards typically struggle on defense, then you have a lot of weak points, right? And you look around at some of the best teams in the league, you know, Denver, for example, Jokic and Michael Porter, you know, league average defenders at best, but they're surrounded by three quality defenders at all times. You know, Giannis is one of the best defensive players in the world. And, you know, he might not even be the best defender on his own team. Celtics, you know, Tatum, Brown, Horford, Rob Williams, Marcus Smart, they've just loaded with really, really plus, above average, terrific defenders, versatile, can switch. The Mavs only have a couple of those guys. And so, you know, they're constantly playing two or three, you know, targets on defense as opposed to only one, where you can conceal Luka's weaknesses or you can conceal Kyrie's weaknesses. You can protect Christian Wood. They just don't have the personnel to protect those guys. Generally, they're playing two or three of them at once, and so the whole system can kind of collapse. I mean, defense in the NBA nowadays is much less about, like, one-on-one or my ability to lock you down. It is all about five fingers on a hand, five guys on a string, and you're only as strong as your weakest link. And if you have two or three links that could be weak, it's really, really hard to maintain the system. So I think just generally, you know, the Mavs have to find a way to add multiple quality defenders, regardless of position, honestly, because, you know, you can't just keep kind of giving up advantages over and over again. The physicality standpoint, you know, getting stronger and effort and all that stuff, that was more about getting back in transition, boxing out, fighting for defensive rebounds, things like that, like the little things, the margins where they've lost some of these games. But overall, from a personnel standpoint, I mean, they have to improve in that regard too.
Bobby, I know it's getting late and we appreciate your time so far. Would you agree with the idea that if the front office and ownership does not want to build a good defensive roster, then they should change the head coach?
No, I mean, I think that they're kind of collectively in agreement on that. I mean, I don't think that being like bottom five, bottom 10 defense is the goal from anyone's perspective. I mean, typically your championship teams are top 10 of both offense and defense. So that is the goal. And I think that everyone kind of recognizes, J.K. has said it himself, you know, this team is not really built to play top 10 caliber defense. So until they are, it's going to be a struggle. But yeah, I mean, I do think that everybody is in agreement that that has to be, you know, the focus.
Thank you so much, sir. Have a great day and enjoy the rest of the season.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Bobby Carilla, Mavs.com with you here on 105.3 The Fan, an incredible, insightful guest on this basketball team. Okay, when we come back, it's time for the top 10. Zach, where are we heading?
Well, I got a bone to pick with Texas Tech, and it's National Single Parents Day. Shout out to all the single parents out there, 877-881-1053. If you want to give some love to somebody, I got the top 10 movies about single parents next on The Fan. Oh, oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.